But you kept this information secret from us until now, Chang accused. Why?
I am not programmed to volunteer information. And yet you are volunteering it now.
With a smile that was meant to be disarming, MC replied,
Not so. Dr. McDaniels specifically asked me for the information.
Chang turned her head to stare at Brad. Hard. He felt like a rabbit suddenly confronted by a snake.
You have an uncanny way of upsetting things, she said to Brad, almost hissing.
Little John defended. Brad's an outsider to your field. Sometimes an outsider can see things, accomplish things, that the insiders can't. Like the puzzle of the genetic code was cracked by an astrophysicist.
Before Chang could respond, he added, Insiders are often restricted to their group's rules, their attitudes, their unconscious biases. An outsider sees beyond that, without even realizing that he's stepping on their toes.
That's the anthropological point of view, Chang said, her voice dripping acid.
Nodding, Little John replied,
And it's probably just as hidebound and limited as any other view. It's simply different from your own.
I see.
Brad spoke up. The point is, I think, that MC has a tremendous store of knowledge and the reflexes to access it and come to useful conclusions much faster than any human or group of humans could.
Perhaps so, Chang said thinly.
We're not using him to his full capabilities, said Brad.
It, Little John corrected. Not him. It.
The master computer is a machine.
A damned brilliant machine, Brad thought.
But he said nothing. Chang was already furious enough. Obviously, she felt challenged by MC, threatened.
MC, Brad called, are there any other significant observations that we've missed?
The evaporation factor, said the master computer.
Evaporation?
Planet Alpha originally orbited 6 times farther from Mithra than its present orbit. The disturbance that brought its orbit to its present position so near the star has placed Alpha in an untenable predicament. The planet's atmosphere is boiling off, and soon its ocean will begin to evaporate. Unless something alters this situation, the octopods will be wiped out even before the death wave reaches this area.
Chang phoned Kossoff and asked to see him immediately. Then the three of them marched off to Kossoff's office. Chang radiating resentment, Little John appearing almost amused, Brad worried that he had stumbled into a powder keg.
Kossoff got up and walked around his desk, holding both his hands out to Chang.
Elizabeth, you look upset, he said, his bearded face full of sympathy. What's wrong?
Chang's expression softened somewhat.
Nothing is wrong, exactly. In fact, it's actually good news, but rather upsetting when you first are confronted with it.
Brad watched with a combination of suspicion and admiration as Kossoff sat them all at the circular conference table in the far corner of his office, listened patiently to Chang's news, and then subtly tried to reassure her.
MC's not going to take over the chair of the philology department, he joked mildly. It's only a machine. It only does what we tell it to do.
I suppose that's so, Chang said. But it's rather upsetting at first. He's so capable.
It, Kossoff corrected. It's a machine, not a person. And Brad thought it's a symbiote, and we've been treating it as if it's a slave. After nearly an hour of talk, Kossoff leaned back in his chair and said,
Actually, this is wonderful news. Apparently, we've been underusing MC's capabilities. It can be much more helpful to us than it has been so far.
Chang said uncertainly, Yes, I suppose you're right.
But what about the evaporation factor? Brad demanded. We've got to help the octopods or they'll be wiped out.
Nodding vigorously, Kossoff said, Let's see what MC has to say about all this.
Chang visibly shuddered.
Kossoff called out, Master computer display, please.
MC's image took form in the holographic tank along the opposite wall of the office. It was wearing a softly blue tunic, a non-threatening color, Brad thought.
How may I help you? MC asked, with its usual calm smile.
Smiling back, Kossoff said, Dr. Chang here tells me we've been wasting a good deal of your talents.
MC blinked once, twice, then replied,
It isn't a waste. My capabilities are available whenever you want to use them.
You've translated a good deal more of the octopod's language than you've revealed to us.
And deduced that Alpha's atmosphere and ocean are being boiled away, Brad added. I am not programmed to volunteer information. Dr. McDaniels asked me about the octopod's language, and I replied, as I am programmed to. Then he asked me what other significant conditions I was aware of, and I told him, as I am programmed to do.
I see, said Kossoff. Very impressive, I must say.
Thank you, sir.
Have you been studying the Gamma humanoid's language as well?
Yes.
And?
It is much easier to translate than the language of the octopods. The Gamma humanoids have much more in common with human beings than the octopods do, although their language is expressed in sound waves that are below the range that humans can detect naturally.
Like the vocalizations that the elephants use back on Earth, said Kossoff.
Yes, very much like that.
But you can detect them?
The sensors planted on the surface of Gamma can detect them. I merely study what the sensors report.
Merely, Kossoff said with a sly grin.
Within the limits of my programming, said MC.
Kossoff nodded.
And to whom have you reported your progress on the Gamma's language?
I have not been programmed to report the data I have amassed, but the information is in my files and available to anyone who asks for it. Kossoff said, Please prepare a dictionary of the data you've amassed so far, and amend the dictionary as you acquire new information.
Certainly, said the MC.
Brad swore that the computer avatar's image looked pleased. But what are we going to do about the evaporation problem? He asked. Kossoff waved a hand in the air. That's a problem for the astronomy department. And the planetology people, of course. This meeting is to discuss the philology department's work.
Brad suppressed an urge to scream. Barely.
The humanoids.
Computer off, said Kossoff.
MC's image disappeared. But Brad couldn't help feeling that the computer was still in the room, listening to them, watching them.
A glance at Chang's face told him that she felt the same way, only more so. He realized that Kossoff was staring at him, which made him feel more uncomfortable.
Spreading his thick-fingered hands, Kossoff said,
I've always felt that computers are like obedient little children. They always do what you tell them to do, even if what you tell them happens to be wrong.
Little John smiled ironically.
Especially if what you tell them is wrong.
Chang said nothing.
Kossoff leaned toward her, sitting next to him, and patted her hand reassuringly. Elizabeth, you've just gained a very capable addition to your staff. You should be pleased.
I suppose I am, Chang replied uncertainly.
Good, said Kossoff. Good.
For a moment, no one spoke.
Then Kossoff pushed his chair back from the table and got to his feet. If there's no other business, I think we should all get back to work.
But Alpha's boiling away, said Brad.
Slowly, Kossoff said. We have plenty of time to deal with that problem. Centuries. Millennia, most likely. But I'll talk to Abbott about it and Peterson. For now, I think we've finished with the philology department's immediate problem.
Little John pushed himself up from his chair. Reluctantly, Brad got to his feet also, towering over his department chief. But as Chang began to rise from her chair, Kossoff said,
Elizabeth, we should discuss how to make the best use of MC on the linguistics agenda.
She looked up at him, nodded, and remained seated.
Kossoff extended his hand to Brad. Good work, son. You have a way of making breakthroughs for us.
Brad tried to shrug nonchalantly.
Kossoff walked him and Little John to the door and waved cheerily as they stepped out into the corridor.
Once the door closed, Little John said,
You've made an impression on him.
I guess so, said Brad. Maybe he'll protect you against Chang.
Protect me?
Little John strode several steps along the passageway before answering.
She's furious at you. Didn't you see that?
I saw she was upset. I thought it was about MC doing the work her group is supposed to do.
Shaking his head, Little John said, She blames you for showing how inadequate she is. She blames you for invading her territory, her turf.
Brad looked down at the dark-skinned aborigine.
You think so?
Little John smiled patiently.
You're an innocent, Brad, but you're swimming in treacherous waters.
You think Chang could be dangerous?
And Kossoff, too.
You've got to think about protecting yourself. You are surrounded by aliens. They may look like ordinary people, but they're more alien to you than I am.
More alien than the humanoids on Gamma.
Humanoids, Little John said. That's what they are. Remember that. They're humanoids. Not truly human.
Kossoff, meanwhile, had seated himself back at the circular table next to Chang. Staring at the door that Brad and Little John had just gone through, Kossoff muttered, "He's a remarkable young man."
Chang said, "Just because he talked to the master computer?"
"No," said Kossoff. "It's more than that. I exiled him to Alpha for 3 months, and he came back and drove us to make contact with the Octopods. Now he's discovered that Alpha's in danger, and we haven't been using MC at anywhere near his full capacity. He upsets the status quo. He's a revolutionary, whether he himself understands that or not.
He's pushed himself into my field, an amateur,
who's made significant discoveries."
"An amateur," Chang repeated.
"A dangerous amateur," said Kossoff. "If we're not careful with him, he'll have both our heads."
Chang's eyes went wide. "What can we do about him?"
"I'm not quite sure," said Kossoff, his intense blue eyes focused on the door once again. "Not yet. But I'll have to come up with some way of dealing with him."
"Push him out an airlock," Chang growled.
"No, no, no, we have to use him. Put his natural curiosity and intelligence to work for us."
"Not on my team. I won't have him making a shambles of our work."
"I agree. I'll move him to something else. Something that uses his background in anthropology."
"And what might that be?"
"I don't know. Not yet." That night, as Kossoff prepared for bed, he was still thinking about Brad, wondering how to use the young man without upsetting Chang or any of the other committee heads. He stepped from the lavatory to his bedroom. Briefly, he thought about calling one of the young women among the scientists to drop in for a nightcap. There was a redhead among the astronomers who seemed particularly friendly. She might be fun. But as he climbed into bed and pulled the covers up to his bearded chin, his mind filled with a vision of Felicia Portman. Felicia Portman McDaniels, now. "He stole her away from me. She's married to him. Like a blundering ass, I walked her up the aisle and handed her over to him. That's a mistake I've got to correct."
Plan of Action. 2 days later, Kossoff called Brad to his office.
"Brad," he said, smiling as he got up from his desk and waved him to the conference table, "we've got to find a way to use you to your fullest capabilities." As he pulled out a chair and folded his gangling frame onto it, Brad said, "I enjoy working with Dr. Littlejohn." "Yes, of course, but studying the way the rest of our staff works is sort of anthropological busy work, don't you think? What can it lead to? Another report sitting in the files of the University of Canberra's anthropology department?"
"That's Dr. Littlejohn's university."
Kossoff nodded. "Most of the world's scientific research ends up in a university library, unread and forgotten. I think you're capable of bigger and better things."
"You do?"
Planting a beefy hand on his chest, Kossoff said, "You're an original thinker, my boy. You go outside the lines. I want to use that inquisitive mind of yours."
"In what way?"
"That's what I want to discuss with you. You've been reviewing the data we've amassed on the Gamma humanoids, haven't you?"
With a nod, Brad replied, "For several months now."
"Good," said Kossoff.